Blog Talk Radio.
Friday night with nothing to lose. Nothing to lose on a Friday night, right? Yeah. Unless you're out, you know, clubbing it up and having real fun. If not, then you're sitting around your house and listening to the show, all right? Because we have nothing to lose. All right. Yeah, the opening song was by one of our featured guests tonight, a hip-hop artist called Just Me. And the title of that song was Looking at the Sky, and we will be getting to him very shortly here. His music has, wow, it blows me away. And I'm sure he has a lot of cool stuff to tell us all about, and we'll get to that shortly. But for now, yeah, I got to bring on my co-host, Mr. Michael DeKosinski. Are you there, buddy?
Hola, Senor Fougier.
Hello, Mr. Michael DeKosinski, our other co-host. She always chimes in late because she's some sort of drunk broad who's been out hanging out at concerts tonight. Is that correct?
That's kind of her signature move at this point.
It is her signature move. That no wonder she has how many DUIs now?
Oh wow. She's our wash.
You know, I mean, I feel like we need to do the Pledge of Allegiance, but I feel like I have to wait for Quinn, Dr. Quinn, our other co-host, Michelle L. Quinn, as I like to call her, Dr. Quinn, to get on here with us. But in the meantime, you know, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the headlines here lately, buddy, but there's been some crazy shit going on. And you know, and the thing is, the media has already, like, warned this out. That I refuse to, you know, mention the Zimmerman, Trayvon, you know, thing.
Oh, yeah.
No,
oh,
geez. Ad nauseum. You know, I'm not going to go there. So I thought it would be fun to bring something up that I think has sort of been eclipsed by all that. But something that should be brought up because, you know, it's very, I don't know. It has its same, you know, the same kind of connotations as far as, you know, race, et cetera, and you know, civil rights or whatnot. I've noticed something that's intrigued me is recently, I guess, a group of Satanists performed a gay ritual at the Westboro gravesite. Are you familiar with,
yes,
familiar at all with this? They call it a pink mass. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. That sounds weird. It was beautiful.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, yeah, so I guess this group of Satanists decided to, you know, if people, I mean, are you familiar with the, I'm sure you're familiar with the Westboro, like, church, right? The Westboro,
yes,
Baptist,
yes,
Church, yeah, they're the ones that go out and they picket, you know, like, soldiers who, you know, funerals and stuff like that, poor guys,
mm-hmm,
who have sacrificed their lives. And so for this country, they go there and picket and say, God hates fags, God hates soldiers, God hates the United States, you know, hates America and all this, you know. So I guess this group of Satanists decide to one-up them, right? They decide to one-up them.
Yes.
And go to, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be laughing, but I find it hilarious. They go to the founders of the church, or whatever, the pastor of the church, his mother's grave. His name is Fred Phelps, I believe. And they perform some sort of gay ritual, like, over his mom's grave. I know, that right there, I mean, yeah. And that's kind of pushing. I mean, I would be really pissed if somebody did that to my mom or dad's grave or
right.
whatnot. But at the same time, they were, I think, trying to send them a message, you know, and say, hey, you know what? Now your mom up in heaven or wherever she is now a lesbian. They were just trying to make a statement, I guess, against
exactly. You know, I think that was kind of the message, you know. The Westboro Baptist Church is way out of line all the time, you know. And so I think that was kind of the point. They were being out of line to kind of shockwave.
Yeah, shock waving, but, you know, the thing is, okay, but, wait, I think our other co-host, Dr. Quinn, are you there?
I am here, gentlemen.
Wow, there she is.
Welcome.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!
Ta-da! Oh,
what?
We were just talking about Satanists and stuff and how they perform gay rituals.
Yeah, I was listening, but I wanted to first point out before anybody, like, says anything.
Uh-huh.
If you hear like some strange caterwauling in the background, we are introducing a new inhabitant of the resort, and and it gets kind of loud in here because Simon is not happy. So I just wanted to point that out for everybody that no, it is not me or it is not anyone that I might be connecting with. It is a cat. And he's upset, so I just wanted
to point
that out.
He's upset, or does he sense some other cat in heat?
No, Carol is fixed, as we know,
okay.
And, oh, dude, did you just really spray on my chair? Okay.
And see, he's marking territory. See, and next question, Dr. Quinn, next question is, are you in heat? He might sense that.
he's not coming near me, so I don't, you know, I think that would be very bad. But anyway, I didn't mean to derail the conversation. I'm just telling you that if you guys hear loud yelling,
you know,
in the background, it's not me.
That's okay. That's okay. And thanks for the heads up. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. So anyway, we were talking about Fred Phelps.
We were talking about. Well, you know what? Now that you're here, I feel like we need to do the Pledge of Allegiance, because I didn't feel right doing the Pledge of Allegiance without you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. So here we go. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, please please rise, stand up, put your right hand upon your heart, remove your hat, and remove your wig, Dr. Quinn. And,
I got it.
And here we go, the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ah, oh, Jesus. Seriously, it gets me every time. Brings a tear to my eye, and I'll never forget to always sing that every day of school in the morning. Yeah. But, all right, so here we are. Friday night, nothing to lose, and we got two really cool kick-ass guests here tonight. Just Me, hip-hop artist from Reno, Nevada, and Robin Pinocchia from Chicago, Illinois. She's a writer. And we were discussing Satanists who perform gay rituals over graves. Do you have any, quickly, Dr. Quinn, do you have any input on that? Are you familiar with the Westboro church? Yeah,
in fact,
Topeka, Kansas.
If I'm not mistaken, they made it out to the NWI to pick at a soldier's death, or I know that there was talk that they were going to.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if it was, I mean, this was a couple of years ago, and, you know, I can't remember, like, last week, but I think that, I know they were coming.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they actually made it here and were prevented, or found out the level of which they were going to be prevented, and they were like, we're not going to deal with that. But yes, I'm very familiar with them.
Okay.
So,
what's your opinion? I mean, destructive? I mean, what's your opinion of that whole movement? We don't have a whole time.
You know,
just in a nutshell.
Sure,
wow. You're a member. You're a card holding member, aren't you?
No. I'm saying, as a jackass, I think it was hilarious and needed. Absolutely, the very small, respectable, mature human would be like, there could have been better ways to, you know, protest, but,
uh-huh,
you know, because I am me, I think it's hysterical, and I'm glad that they did it. So,
come on.
No, wait, you're glad
gay.
Who did
Everybody
what? You're glad the Satanists did the gay ritual, or are you glad about the Westboro Baptist Church?
Oh, come on. Brian, have you met me?
No. You're confusing me right now with your remark.
Okay, I'm sorry. No, I am glad... I am glad that the Satanists decided.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay.
Come on.
You didn't specify that. There we go.
So you're a Satanist.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's on.
Wait.
It's on live. Dr. Quinn is a
Satanist.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You're not
going to
win tonight, Dr. Quinn.
That's fine. We're fine with that. Let's go on.
Yeah, I'm just messing with you. All right, this is more stuff we can explore later. But you know what? Let's I really want to bring on our one of our featured guests here tonight, Just Me, hip hop artist from Reno, Nevada. He's got a great sound, I'm telling you. And wow, yeah, let's bring him on and initiate him into a Friday night of nothing to lose. All righty. Just Me, you there, buddy?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for holding, buddy.
Hey, Just Me.
What's going on? How are you guys?
Great.
Doing
glad
right.
to have you on. glad to have you on, man. You have such a great sound. I'm telling you, you have such a unique mix, like as far as your sound goes, of, you know, like kind of like hardcore rap, but mixed, it has more of a like a hip hop sort of mainstream sound to it as well. I mean, I can see your stuff definitely being on the radio. You know, I could see myself at a club listening to this, you know, and dancing to it. And then I could see myself also riding in the car, driving in the car with my kids and listening to your sound on the radio. You have such a great sound. I'm glad to have you on, and I can't wait to pick your brain, man. So
most
welcome.
Definitely. I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah.
I try to keep a good variety of music, and I try to keep my mind open and be able to do, you know, try to do other genres of music as well. So that helps out with the, you know, just the different aspects of music.
Right. So hey, yeah, let's talk about your, I guess I would like to call it your debut album, the I Am Just Me.
Yeah. Basically, that we put it together just about a year ago. It kind of came together. I've been working on music for a little while, and me and my uncle actually bumped heads get a studio together. So we got a studio together, and from there, kind of just pieces just kind of fell in with the puzzle, and it just kind of worked out in my favor. So I'm blessed to experience that and be able to have this quick success. So. Just keeping it pushing.
Right. Okay. So you have a studio of your own that you and your uncle put together?
Yeah, my uncle actually, once I actually moved down to Reno, Nevada, me and my uncle bumped heads for about a year almost, and then finally he listened to a couple of my older mixtapes and stuff like that, and he said he was going to get a studio together, and the next thing I know, I mean, he had a studio, we had another friend of ours, Chris Jones, came in, and I brought a lot of his equipment to the studio, so it kind of just fell into the point of knowing somebody instead of, it's not always what you know, it's who you know.
Right, yeah, and wow, and so it just blossomed from there, huh, man? It I mean, wow, this album, I mean, some of my favorite songs are, I'm going to mention real quick, I've listened to the whole sort of the album on the mix, you know. On
good, I appreciate
Dad Piff,
it.
The Dad Piff, man, yeah, like the High Life, that is great,
yep.
And the radio song, great stuff, man, I mean, really good. So,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, so I understand you've worked with Tom Gordon. Tom Gordon, is he like a big engineer?
Yeah, he's a big deal, man. We kind of just worked into that with once I moved to Reno, I'm originally from Portland, Oregon. I moved down to Reno probably about 5 years ago. But how me and Tom got linked up is he's actually a teacher for a music class at UNR. And one of my friends gave him my CD. He liked it, told me that he liked it. Well, he told my friend he liked it, and he let me know. So I had my manager get in contact with Tom, and he was all for working together, and it just kind of came together like that.
Wow. See, you know how to network.
That's what I'm saying. It just falls in the right place, man. And it's awesome working with Tom just because, he's done so many genres of music, you know, and sitting down and kind of picking his brain. I mean, he did the whole Chronic 2001 album. He's done Phil Collins, Ozzy Osbourne. The list goes on and on. So he knows
Willie
Nelson,
Guy Veret.
It's awesome. He works with E-40 all the time. I mean, he works with some great people and different in so many different ways of music. So it's good to sit down with him and be able to pick his brain as well.
Wow, that's awesome. So what's it like for you? I mean, what's the creative process like for you? Like, when you come up with, you know, a song idea or whatever, do you hear the lyrics in your head first, or do you write down the lyrics first, or
I usually,
do you hear the sound?
I'll just play the beat over and over and just kind of come up with, well, it just depends on what I'm thinking or how I'm feeling that time, and just bring up with something that, you know, a chorus or whatnot that involves, you know, my feelings or thoughts at that time, and then I just kind of put it together after I've got the chorus or what my subject is going to be about. But besides that, it's usually I write in my phone, So I usually throw the headphones on and just kind of go in my own zone. And, you know, that's just how I do it. I like to write the chorus first, and then I just go from there, and I just write it piece by piece and
really?
Put it together.
Well, that's
yeah.
interesting. You hear the chorus in your head first, the chorus.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I just sit back and think. I mean, I just try to feel the song out and try to bring the feeling of the song out as well as what I'm thinking at that time or how I'm feeling or what mood I'm in. And I'll make the chorus first just so I know, you know, at least a good, you know, box line of what I'm going on or what subject I'm going on. And, and then I just express my feelings in any kind of way I can possible, man.
Cool, very cool. So how'd you even get started in the first place? I mean, how old were you when you thought, yeah, okay, yeah, this is what I want
to
do?
To be honest, and everybody asks that, and like literally like trying to, you know, really take hold of this hip-hop and, you know, really go after it, probably like the last 3 years.
Really?
I mean, rapping from way back in high school, you know, with my friends and, you know, beating on the table and lunch table type stuff. But, I mean, and I've always written music. I've always written verses and, you know, choruses and, you know, stuff like that. But I've never really, you know, had the urge to record it. But, you know, I started letting people hear it, and they're like, you know, Tone, like, you're awesome.
Yeah, so people start recognizing your talent. I mean, I see it.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I've heard it.
and you know, and family and friends, you know, kind of push me to, you know, this is something that you know, a golden opportunity that you have.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you're blessed with these, you know, talents. So, you know, take hold of your craft and go for it. You've already written songs after songs. So then I kind of started focus on putting it together as far as professionally. And then me and my uncle kind of bump heads, and it just kind of all came together after that.
Wow, that's awesome, man. So, okay, so I got to ask you about the success of this, that the lead single from your album, that Looking at the Sky. What inspired that song? That's the song I played at the beginning there. I mean,
I actually got it from Sound Hype, which is a company out in Denver, great company. I actually got the beat from them. They thought it was a great song, and my manager thought it was a great song, so they brought it to me and asked me, and, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm definitely down to do it and do something different. And like I said, you know, it's kind of who you know, Tom Gordon, me working with him, they had another girl on the chorus, and they said, you know, hey, he's like, hey, would you mind Whitney Meyer getting on this? I think she would like to get on it. And at the time, she had just came back from The Voice. She was just in Reno, and he called her, and she came over in 20-25 minutes, listened to the song, kind of went over with me what I kind of wanted, and then she went in there and just totally obliterated the whole studio. I mean, she did that in maybe 35 to 40 minutes.
Wow, that's amazing, because it's a
yeah.
I'm telling you, dude, it is an amazing song. It really is. First time I heard it, I was like, totally blown away. And I mean, it sounds like something. I mean, I'm surprised it's not on like mainstream radios at this point. I mean, is that a goal for you
we're pushing towards that. And what we've been doing is, you know, we put out the album a little while ago and kind of just fished it out just to see what kind of buzz and, you know, what was going to be picked up. And we got so many downloads. Once we put it on iTunes, we got so many downloads from out of country, you know, just Paris and Australia and just a whole bunch of different places. And I was just like, wow. So now we're just, you know, we're pushing it a lot more. And so hopefully, you know, sooner or later, you will hear me on the radio.
Well, you know what? I got to be on
the radio.
What was that?
No, I was thinking that at the same time I was saying it. I'm glad you caught it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'll be surprised if I don't eventually hear that on the radio. And speaking of which, the music video, the actual video of that song is pretty darn great. It's a good, really good video. You don't see very many good music videos.
Right. I mean, I try to. I mean, with my videos, I kind of like the old school videos where, you know, kind of tells a story and it's fun.
Right,
I like to have fun in the videos. That's the kind of, you know, I want to have a blast. So that one was real good. We actually ended up getting this ridiculous camera. It was like, I don't know, like $50,000 camera, and it was my the camera guy was actually moving the whole time, so it was just a steady cam, and he was running around. So it was cool. At the same time, it was kind of weird to actually try to pay attention and you know wrap your lines, and then you have some guy like running around, and you're like trying to keep the camera, and he's telling you not to look at the camera. So it was definitely a fun experience and something I've never experienced. So it was good.
I bet. But you know what? It's an awesome video. It really is. It's a really good video. And it's a great song, and you know, if MTV still used, you know, still played actual music videos anymore, I mean, I would see it totally on there. I mean, it's really good. It's a great video. I've watched it several times, and I've been like posting it and promoting it online ever since I first saw it. It's just blown away. I love it. I love the whole concept, man. And everything. It's really good. It's professionally. Who was the director on that?
We actually Chase McMullen was the director on it, which is a local guy out here at SkyTip Media. He's the one that actually choreographed. He directed the video, and his friend Joe C. He actually was the camera guy. He put in so much work. So shout out to those guys as well.
Oh, good. Exactly. Yeah, they deserve props too. Absolutely. Yeah.
For sure.
So most of it was shot with a Steadicam, huh? A guy just kind of, I mean, I noticed a lot of, like, kind of following you. And, And then there were cutaways.
It was cool.
Yeah.
Like the library scene, that was awesome because, you know, we were walking through, and he's on the total opposite side, and we actually did it at the UNR library, so it's a huge library. And so he's like, running and trying to keep up with me at the same time and, like, trying to tell me to slow down at the same time. So we're trying to be parallel, running through the books. And so it was a crazy experience, but it was so much fun. And, you know, like I said, shout out to those guys again because he had, like, a full brace on and he was sweating up a storm when we were out in the desert. So, it was definitely fun, and it was a good video, man. Really fun.
Well, it is a great video. It is. So how many takes? I mean, how long was the shoot?
Man, to be honest with you, we did 2 days. We did
2 days,
one day. We did all in like the mid afternoon till about evening time, and then we waited the next day and did evening similar to the night. So we could get that night shot by the rocks at the end. So it was a 2-day shoot, but I mean, it was good. It wasn't that long actually. Joe and you know Chase, we went through it and thought what we wanted, found the locations maybe about a week or so before, and then we just hit the spots and just went to work. Man, I love working, so it was good. It was real good.
Okay, here's something I got to ask because you know whenever, you know, I see music video, I mean, are you actually, like, when you're shooting it, are you lip syncing? Do you hear music in the back? Does the director have music playing in the background so you can try to sync up with it?
Yeah, we usually have it playing in the back, but at the same time, I'm usually rapping it at the same time, just out loud, just so everything, you know, everything's on the same pattern. But, I just usually say it out loud, but we have it playing in the background.
Right. Okay. So then they in post production is when they
put in the actual music, and they can do their magic. So it works.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, that's cool to hear. You know, from the other side, because you see something like that. I mean, it's such a slick video. I mean, and what do you know about the shots with the female in it? What do you know about those?
Along the train tracks.
Hello? I'm here. There we go.
But yeah, the shots with the females, I mean, that was pretty easy. That was a one-take Jake.
Yeah. Was that the actual female backup? From the boys?
Actually, that was a good friend of mine.
I
asked her to do the video, and she was off for it, so we just worked out like that.
Yeah, I noticed when she was on there, I mean, you would hear a lot of the backup singing, you know, from the female guest, and but you never saw her, like, actually, like, her face or lip syncing or anything. Okay,
right.
Cool. That's
right.
That's cool to get the background, but it worked. It looks great, and it worked. Yeah, okay. Awesome.
Appreciate it.
All right. So, hey, how about we hear another one of your songs here, and we come right back.
Let's do it.
How about a little bit of Doubt Me? Doubt Me.
Okay, I'm with it.
All right, and we'll be right back.
Like it's so stupid. Never fall in love with a bitch like Lucy. But if you call me baby, I bet I can make it juicy. The biggest mummy in them draws to make it rain like a phone. Cool of the class, I'm the flyest nigga in the home. Niggas faking in the game, trying to walk before they call. These niggas ain't doubt it. They ain't really with the shit. They the type of nigga that spit it up on their bitch and shit. But I'm the type of nigga that make a bitch up and meet his head. Cause I'm a boss, and it's bread up. It's like a shit. The trees green and yellow, so I call that shit the information. Boy got stacked, but I ain't talking potato chips. I mean, they're green and white. Boston, Celtic. Yeah. Talk a lot of shit like Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
TMO, that's the game, baby. Learn it. Blood, we burn it. The game, we turn it.
Killing them time is if it flashes. Back up, boy, I ain't nothing to fuck with. My shooters like Billy, the kids, you know they bust with. So my goons be like, what now? I'm the shit, you smell it like the breath from Berlin. Niggas better be on P's and Q's, stop up in my table. Or I do the devil's work, just to shit behavior. Pack me out, CMO, you ain't heard of us. Oh, you will, cause my little brother murderer. Easy, we known to get the cheddar, there's nothing better. Mix me in what I'm a better. We fresh when we together, make it rain, grab a Bella, and we want nights.
Nigga, are you serious? I'm spitting nothing but heat, leaving niggas delirious. All my niggas hungry, too fast and furious. And we killing these cats cause they acting too curious.
You doubt me? Doubt me? Wish it was you instead. Hit every limb off your body, it's a potato head. I told you CMO gang, nigga, we ain't joking. Your sanity, Sam, me and E is some crystal smoke. Stop here, nigga, never bottom shell. And for you niggas, keep them hating comments to yourself. You ain't swagging, we on some other shit. We keep it locked down, secret on the covenant.
2012, we gon' call it shit that's take go, but we finna get a 7-7 Papa Mako. If you must know, baby, we the shit in it. CMO, that's the game, and we about our business.
All right, that song was Doubt Me by Just Me.
Yes.
One of our featured guests here tonight, and from his album, I Am Just Me. Man, good stuff. So, I got to ask, you've opened up for some artists. I noticed you've opened up. Have you opened up for Too Short? Because Too Short's one of my favorite.
Yes.
What was that like? You got to tell me, because Too Short's been one of my favorites since
late 80s. To be honest with you, like, I was thinking something totally different before I met him. When I met him, he's so down to earth. Just he kind of sat me down and talked to me about the game and, you know, just told me about, you know, hip-hop in general and, you know, how to conduct yourself as a man in this business and, you know, make sure that, you know, you go for what you're worth. And, you know, it was good talking to him. I mean, it was a legend. That's a legend to me, you know. So,
you know,
he's
a legend
awesome.
To me, too.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites, too. Can you believe I saw GQ had the worst rappers of all time, and he was listed on that list?
And see, that's total
no
bullshit.
Way.
That's total
bullshit. Yeah, I swear, Eazy-E was on that list too.
No, see, that's bullshit to me too.
Wow.
I grew up. Listen, this was my. I'm old. Believe
it
or not.
Short. That's why I said it had to be some new schoolers writing that.
I'm old. This is, you know, I'm like, I grew up pretty much in the late 70s and the 80s, my favorite music, you know, was rap in the mid to late 80s there, and, you know, forward, and some of my favorite artists was, you know, rap artists, N.W.A., Ice Cube, Too Short, I'll never forget, one of my favorite Too Short songs, just to let you know, is Cuss Words. I don't know if you ever heard it. It's Cuss Words. Just let it go. Motherfucking shit. Goddamn asshole. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that before, but
I definitely have.
Okay, yeah. And I mean, that's one of my favorites. And then there was always like just his like main song, Too Short. Boom, boom, boom. I remember I had a little Ford Escort back in the 80s, late 80s in high school. And it had, you know, shitty, like, you know, company installed like speakers and all that, but I would I'd pump that shit up and drive through my white trash neighborhood with Too Short.
but I mean
even today, if you listen to something like Freaky Tales, it still stands up.
It is. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. I did not know about that, about G2.
They had ICP listed as the worst rappers of all time, but, you know.
See.
I mean, that one
I can see where they're going with that, but have Too Short and Eazy-E on that list was disgusting.
Those are two of my favorites.
That's ridiculous.
Eazy-E,
I mean, oh, my gosh. And that's the one that started.
I mean...
The boys in the hood are always hard. I go on.
Boys in the hood. Yep.
Did they not remember that? Is that too old?
Said, it was probably a bunch of new schoolers, man.
Yeah, it has to be, because that's insane.
It's shameful. It really is. I mean, I think my affinity for the rap genre and all that when I was a teenager was sort of my rebellion against my parents, because I would play that shit every morning, loud, on my cassette. I had a cassette player. Yes, I'm that old. It was a cassette player. And I had my boombox up full blast, you know, while I'm taking a shower, getting ready for school in the morning. My parents they hated it. You know, you got N.W.A. going, fuck the police. Drove them crazy. But
I'm a generation behind you, Brian, so I had, like, Wu-Tang, Master P, and Triple Six Mafia. So,
we're
in different school.
3-6.
Yeah, 3-6. You know.
Oh, I'm definitely a 3-6 fan.
Everyone I knew was just blaring "Tear the Club Up." I mean, just everyone I knew. That's all you heard when that shit came out.
Most definitely.
All right, so I got to ask you also, you have something else going on besides music, right? You're into fashion or something like that? You have a clothing
line? We actually, DJ Williams, Chicago Bears now, used to play for the Denver Broncos. He actually got in contact with my manager, said he likes me as you know, personality. He likes, you know, what I represent, what I bring to the table, and he would love for me to be part of his clothing line. And I was like, of course. I mean, most definitely. I think the brand is awesome. The just how they put together the clothes, and you know, the designs are just awesome. So shout out DJ Williams and Dime Life. So you beat up, you know.
Dime Life.
Kind of came together through the gateway. Yeah, Dime Life. So you guys gotta check that out. It's up and going, and it's moving fast. Everybody is throwing the D's up for Dime Life, and you check it out. And, I'm sure you're seeing it everywhere.
The I's are replaced with
L-Y-F-E.
I've seen
on the website that Jermaine Dupri wearing some of his shit.
Yep. There's a lot of, Diddy's in the club throwing up D's. I mean, it's awesome, man. It's really been taking off, and, you know, I follow them on Twitter and everything, and their stuff has just been booming lately, so that's awesome. So.
So how did you get into that? I mean, like, as far as...
I just like to look good. I mean, whether it's really dressy clothes, like, you know, shirt and tie type, or to, you know, regular jeans and Jordans and just a T-shirt. So, I mean, you know, I just try to stay fashionable, and I guess they've seen that. And, you know, a lot of the guys that are under my umbrella, they're real fashionable, so they just hit us up and said, hey, you know, we would love to work with you, and we're all for working with anybody, so.
Cool. So what's the – do you know the actual, like, website? Could you tell us right now?
You can,
like,
just go to dimelife.com, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
dimelife.com?
They have the dimelife.com, and they have – I mean, they have everything. Anything you need from, you know, dressier clothes to not just fun, you know, kickback wear. So definitely check it out.
All right. Well, cool, man. So what's coming up for you in the future? I mean, do you have any plans to tour or anything like that?
Yeah, we're actually trying to set up a tour right now. It's still in the works and whatnot, with a couple folks. We're not quite sure who's actually going to go on tour with us, but we're trying to set up a tour, I believe, through Karma Loop. So we're trying to get that started. But before that, we got my little brother's album is dropping on the 23rd, I believe, of this month, and that's called The Temple from Easy Baby. That's my little brother, and he's that's going to be crazy. And then we have Anomaly after that coming out probably about 6 months after that. We have Anomaly's album dropping, which is awesome. We're working on mixtapes kind of in the meantime, and I'm working on a mixtape with my other little brother. He's in the label Retro. His stuff is coming out. We also have Jay Sav. So we're just working, man. Manny Beats does all the production, so... We have everything under one roof, so it's awesome to be able to not outsource as much because we're right there, and we get stuff done ASAP. We don't have to wait to go get a singer. My little brother sings. We don't have to wait to go get a hardcore lyricist. I have Anomaly. Like, it's just – it's all under one roof, so it's real easy to get
work. That's awesome. That is awesome. So, wow, you got two little brothers in the works here that we might have on the show in the future here with
their
kick-ass music.
Most definitely. Most definitely. My little brother, that's dropping his album here pretty soon, like I said. Easy Baby, he will definitely be on the show. Easy. You got to check out for him.
Easy Baby.
That's funny because that's what he says all the time.
That's great. Your label is Unit 27 Productions, correct?
Yeah, Unit 27
Productions. Is this what you're talking about when you're saying it's all under one roof?
Yeah, all under one roof. It's pretty much all family. We're all family ties through some way, cousins, you know, brothers and uncles. So that's awesome. But, yeah, Unit 27, you can go on the website, which is www.u27p.com. It has all of my guys on there. It has all of our Twitter pages and all that good stuff, videos and all that good stuff. So definitely check that out.
Nice. All right, man. Well, you know, it's been great having you on the show. And, you know, I hope to hear from you again sometime. I mean, you've definitely got something going on, and I love your sound. You definitely have a good sound that,
I appreciate that very much.
I will
make
Facebook.
Sure that, you know. You guys can follow me on Twitter at justme_unit27. That's the same thing on Twitter as well. Facebook, same thing. You guys can follow him there. You guys can go to U27P. And as soon as I get some new stuff going, we'll bring it right to you.
That would be awesome.
Hell yeah.
And you know what? I fully expect to see you at some point on one of the late night shows or Saturday Night Live. You're laughing, but I'm being serious. You've got the sound, man. And I can tell you've got the sound and you've got the brains. I mean, I can sense it and I can see it. And I fully, expect to see you on, Jimmy Fallon or one of those shows late night,
I would love
alongside
someone is funny. Yeah, because I would love to just crack jokes with one of those guys. I mean, I'm a big jokester. Most of you know, my brothers and stuff, all we do is play jokes on each other and talk about each other, so it's awesome. So we just have a lot of fun. So it's good. It's all love, but, you know, it's all hate at the same time, so it's awesome.
Right. Okay. All right. Before I let you go, since you're a jokester, because I am too, would you mind taking a simple little standard interview that I give everyone we usually have on?
Okay, I'm down.
I mean, okay. I can tell you're down. I wouldn't have like even asked you if I couldn't tell you were down.
Yeah, you're the coolest guest. You'll be all right.
Now brace yourself, just me. All right, just brace yourself.
All right.
Here we go. This is here we go. Brrr, consider this like some sort of like preparation for being on Jimmy Fallon or something like that. Okay. All right. Here we go. Question number one for just me. Do you make eye contact when you make love?
I do not.
Wow. Okay.
Interesting.
I haven't heard of that one yet.
Can you elaborate? Why? Why not? Is there a reason?
Follow-up question.
Like,
why not?
Okay, wait. What do you mean? Do you mean by, like, just, like, stare in their eyes? Or do you just, like, kind of glance every once in a while?
Yes, glaring. Just staring straight at them like a dog.
No, I don't do that. Every once in a while, I'll give you a quick look. I think it's just a quick look just to make sure that everything's going okay.
I can relate. I do the same thing.
One person say it's hard to look in their eyes when you're coming at them from behind.
Yeah, that is most definitely.
We're not specifying position here.
And see, if we're in that, then, you know, I'd put a blindfold on somebody.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. So, I don't know if you – do you have a Facebook page?
Yeah, it's Anthony Just Me.
Anthony Just Me, huh?
Yeah, just right. Anthony Just Me. And, yeah, you guys can – I mean, definitely let me know. You guys get on Facebook or Twitter. I'd love to clown around with you guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
see, now we're all going to have to – we're all going to friend you. And here's the next question. Here's the next question, Just Me. Since you do have a Facebook page. Okay. Do you think it's ethical to like, you know, the little thumbs up thing, your own post on Facebook? And do you do it? If not, do you know somebody who does?
I do not. And I do know somebody who does, my own little brother. He does it all the time. And I ask him why he does. He says, because I like it. So I was like, all right, well, I mean, it's an easy answer.
Well, who doesn't like their own post? What's your opinion on that? Because I've seen some people abuse it.
My thing is just like, it's like giving yourself a high five.
nobody else is
around, and you hit a half court shot, and you don't have anybody to high five, so you just like jump in the air and give yourself a high five.
That is probably the best answer.
Oh God, do people really do that?
Right. I think
that's the best answer I've ever heard regarding liking your own post. I mean, that's
a good one. That's hilarious. I can't wait to call my little brother and tell him.
That's great. Well, you know, my next question. Yeah, this one we usually give to poets and artists. A lot of, you know, musicians or you know, whatnot, it doesn't apply to them as much. But would you ever consider activating, you know, a middle initial to enhance your career as an artist or a poet or anything like that? But obviously, you let me just get you up to date. There's a lot of poets and writers who like to put in a middle initial with a dot, and they think it somehow makes their work more relevant.
can you give me an example?
Both my uncles, Michael D. Gosinski and Michelle L. Quinn.
It sounds good on you guys. I don't think I would do it for myself. Just Me or just point P me. No, that's
not
gonna
work. I think I'm just gonna keep it
nice and smooth at just me.
Right. Okay, so that one. Okay, and last question, and this one. Okay, this one is really, it's really out there.
All right.
Okay. Prepare yourself.
All right, okay. I'm ready.
All right. Last question. You're being a good sport. I love it, man. I can tell you have the sense of humor for it. So here we go. And now, I think, threesomes reveal a lot of who we are. If you were involved in a threesome, would you consider yourself to be the queen bee or a worker bee?
Ooh.
Depends on the situation, right?
Okay, yeah, that's a tough one. I think I'm going to go ahead and be a worker bee.
Oh, yeah.
Good answer.
I think I'm just...
That's there, right
I'm
there, dude.
What,
that's where you want to be.
You know, I mean, I would think she would want a worker.
Right.
You know, so I think everybody likes a hard... Everybody likes a hard worker, so I'll be a worker.
Yeah, well, you'd rather be giving it than taking it, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, that's a definite.
That's great.
I think Anthony needs to call me, man.
Yeah, I wish I could come on this show like once a week. I need to come on this show like once a week. This is hilarious.
Well, yeah, you do. You fit right in. You fit right in.
I'm definitely
going to
tune in.
We've had a lot of people on the show, we've had a lot of people on the show, but you're knowledgeable, you're good, you're funny, you're a good sport, man.
For sure. Well, yeah, I'm
absolutely
definitely have to call in sometime and keep up with you guys and start listening.
Hey, anytime.
Yeah, and you know
all right,
what?
For sure.
All your little brothers too that are.
Oh yeah,
up
I'm
here.
Gonna get them on here.
Even like
a
fraction as talented as you are, man. We gotta have them on.
Oh man, I can't wait till Easy Baby is on here when you ask him the questions. I can't wait to stand next to him while you ask him those questions.
Wait, are they of age? I don't want to ask him.
Oh yeah, he's good. He's of age. You can ask him. I just can't wait till he sees his face about the Facebook one. That's gonna be hilarious. I just want to see if he's gonna try to fib about it.
All right, man. How about thanks for being on, and I want to play one more of your songs here, and just kind of your song Radio, and I want to thank you again for being on, and man, you've been awesome, and you know what,
thanks,
if you do have nothing else to do, you're welcome to stay on for our next guest and all that.
I actually just got over to this little spot where we're hitting golf balls. I got some family heading out, so I'm going to hit these
golf balls. All right.
Yeah, it's a GS bar. It goes into the water.
That takes priority, yeah. No problem, man. Thanks so much for being on, and we're going to close out with your segment with your song Radio.
No problem. You guys take care, man.
All right, thank
you
so much for being on, man. You've been great.
For having
me. Just me, everybody. Just me. Check them out.
Take care.
Triple C.
You too.
This lifestyle, shit, yeah. Money, clothes, we're getting shorter, wetter than swimwear. Close my eyes, put a finger on a map. We in there, rocking shit the type that you won't even cop the next year. Swag so smooth, like I broke it down to fifth gear. People say they want that real rap, so I give them that. Put the game as a mission until I hear these niggas tap. This shit slap is what they saying to my new kid. Mama say I'm a sunflower seed, the way to do spit. So for her, I don't never have to prove shit. If you need me, I'll be chillin' in the cockpit. Probably pounding my chick, cause she a trending topic. My flow sticky, so you might have to mop it. Hamilton Beach, the way this nigga crack pot shit. Listen to my conscience, it told me not to stop it. Cause this music just flows through my veins, on the cons.
They gon' love my shit on the radio, love it on the radio. They gon' blast my shit on the radio, blast it on the radio. They can't stop my shit on the radio, stop it on the radio. So they gon' play my shit on the radio, play it on the radio.
I'm a bad boy, but no more in a wheel. I'm Mike Lowry, that's how fresh I just feel. A bitch hitter, I touch face as well. Shorty with the red bottom, roll the
like a bad dog. I'm jumping over some of you niggas, call it deep rock. I steadily stay on my toes like a ballerina. I stay with this shit and that flows, call it diarrhea. I move smooth like Shaft, like Shaft. So if you hear him hating on T, ask them who asked you. It's just me on the track, nigga, I blast you. You a broken engine, so why would someone gas you? I'm permanently inked with this music, yeah, tattoo. I'm flyer than flies, I'm tighter than ties. I'm higher than rise, I'm wetter than cries. Nigga, I'm that dude. Plus my kick game large, nigga. Shaq Boo.
Tonight, just me, a hip-hop artist who from Reno, Nevada, who, wow, blew me away. He's going to be big time, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he is.
He isn't already. You know?
Yep.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep.
Yep. All right, so up next, we have our next featured guest. She is a writer from Chicago, Illinois, or Illinois, as I like to call it, to annoy all them Illinois peoples.
No, I think a lot of Illinois people call it Illinois. I don't know
yeah,
why.
I've been to Illinois more than once, and last time I was there, I could tell a lot of them kind of like, yeah, Illinois is like, yeah, the standard pronunciation. But anyhow, no. So our next guest, featured guest, is Robin Pinocchia. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. Pinocchia, kind of like Pinocchio?
Correct.
Pinocchia? Robin Pinocchia,
oh,
and she's a writer
from
Chicago. And she's got a lot going on, too. She has a lot of, you know, cool stuff going on. This, you know, show called The Sunday Night Sex Show and everything else. And I've read a lot of her work online. And she's a senior staff writer at Death and Taxes, and so, you know, we're going to bring her right up here in just a second. Are you guys ready? Are we ready for this, or should we do a little Puff the Magic Dragon and then bring Robin Pinocchia up? Robin, I know you're out there. Robin, do you hear us? Robin, you know, we'll save the Puff the Magic Dragon for later. I think Robin's ready to come on. Robin Pinocchia from Chicago, Illinois. Hello.
Okay, I was like, I don't know. I wasn't sure when I was supposed to start talking.
Welcome. We never know when we're supposed to start talking either, so awesome.
Hi, Robin. Welcome.
Sorry, it's real hot here. I'm a little dizzy.
It's real hot.
For real. Well, did you guys, are you in part of the city that got rained out, or?
Now my cable and internet is out, so I'm like, God, I'm going to have to go back to reading books for tonight or something.
Oh, Jesus. Who wants to do that?
I know. I mean, what kind of weirdos read books on a Friday night? No.
So, anyway.
Or, you know, me.
I suppose I should set up. Robin and I actually met, so you guys kind of have the background. We met a few, what, about, when was Sam's last book party?
I think like 3 months ago.
Yeah, something like that. Well, anyway, Samantha Irby, who, you know, we are still going to get on the show if it kills me. We are mutual friends. And also, I believe, Robin, you are also a Jez or a former Jez, correct? Like psycho reader Jez.
I was the commenter.
Okay. Right.
That's how I met, like, that's how I met Amanda, and that's how Amanda then met Sam. And it's a whole, like, weird... Like, half of our friend circle is friends because a bunch of us were commenters on Jezebel at one point.
Exactly.
A long time ago.
Right, when people actually liked Jezebel. But I still like it. I'm still, you know, pretty crazy about it.
Well, my friend Erin is awesome, and Lindy West is great. You know, it's still a great site. I don't have time for internet commenting because I'm too busy internet writing, you know.
Well, there you go. Exactly. So... But anyway, so we were at this book party of Sam's at Big Star, which is a taco place in
Wicker Park.
Wicker Park, yes. So it was fine, and we all had beers, and we were talking about makeup and, you know, typical girl stuff. We met Beth there, too. Our buddy Beth Casey was there, who now, you know, Brian is well acquainted with, and so we all had, you know, it was a great time and everything, so, and we found out that Robin is, you know, through things, she is a writer at Death and Taxes, which, now, tell us what kind, I thought, you know, based on the stuff that, you know, I will fully admit that I read your stuff on Death and Taxes because you're the person I care about, so I read your stuff. What type of site is it? Because we were kind of like, okay, is it a right wing?
No.
That's
not at all. No.
Okay, but go ahead. Tell
this
us about it.
People always get confused because of the name is Death and Taxes. So like, the funny, like, it's, you know, fairly leftist. But the funny thing is that, like, we'll get people being like, who like, will think it's going to be like some kind of Tea Party or libertarian site, and it's totally not.
Right. You know, because based on the stuff that you write, it's like, nah, that's not libertarian stuff. But,
but, like, it's kind of funny because we'll get, like, really angry commenters. Like, we, like, you know, we'll invite, we'll get some crazy Ron Paul bot happening a lot who are like, blah, 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 rap fund, the Austrian School of Economics. And I'm like, dude, it's a post about Justin Bieber, seriously.
okay. So now, how long have you been with Death and Taxes?
Literally since the day I met you, because I don't know if you remember, that was the day that they officially hired me, but, like, I've been writing stuff for them for, like, a year now.
Okay. Okay, so you were kind of...
full time.
Okay. Yeah, I remember something vaguely about that, but remember there was a lot of beer involved. So, but yeah,
yeah,
I do remember that.
A lot of tequila that day.
well, okay, may I interject for just a second?
You may interject, Brian.
Robin, you just got to know, I'm a huge fan of... your essay and your video, I, in fact, would not like to swim with dolphins.
yeah,
I have watched it.
I would be filming it so my hair looks ridiculous because I was like, oh, God, I go to this thing up in some other neighborhood that I don't understand and do a reading, and everyone else's reading that night was, like, really serious and, like, excerpts from their, like, Pushcart Prize-winning novels.
God. Okay.
And the audience was really, like, nice and polite and everything, which is, like, totally not like my audience at all.
Right.
right.
Like, we are assholes. and then I get up there and I'm, like, talking about dolphin rape caves.
I loved it. I was blown away. I'm sorry. I am a huge fan. That video alone, and watching that, I've watched that video multiple times, and yeah, done unspeakable things to it while watching it. But no, seriously, it was so funny, and it sounded like the audience was really engaged in, like, was I heard a lot of laughter and all that. It was really funny, and it was really good.
Well, I think they were happy that someone was funny because everyone else was, like, definitely serious. They were good, but they were, like, very, you know, they were very literary. I'm, you know.
Thank you. Okay.
Well, you know, I think I think it's very literary, the whole dolphin essay. I mean, it was hilarious in it. You know, if people can't take a joke,
but it wasn't,
then,
like, serious,
you know, fuck them.
You know, it's all, like, serious literary. It's, you know.
Yeah, it was so good. So what was that like
for
you?
I don't have nearly enough adjectives for that.
So what was that like for you? Were you nervous going up there to read that after you thought, like, oh, my God? I mean,
actually,
had you prepared anything else?
I hadn't even decided what I was going to read.
Uh-huh.
And then I think when everyone was so, like, you know, sort of prim, I was like, screw it. I'm doing the dolphin essay.
So the prim people inspired you.
Well, I remember someone actually got mad at me because I didn't want to swim with dolphins.
That's great. What inspired that piece? I mean, what made you even think of writing something
like
that?
You don't like people get really offended by. They're like, "Well, what's wrong with? Are you like a really bad person?"
Uh-huh.
People are not cool with anyone not liking going camping. Like they really feel importantly about converting you to wanting to
right.
go camping. Bye. For years, people have been trying to get me to go camping.
No,
I don't
God,
come.
I
I'm Italian. We're not campers really as a people.
Oh.
Italians aren't campers, huh? Why
not
is that?
Really, no.
This sounds like some sort of stereotype
it's
there.
Hair.
Please elaborate,
no.
Because, you know,
I don't know very many Italians.
No
one of my family ever goes camping. Uh-huh. Yeah, no one of my family's ever been camping. I think my aunt has or whatever, but, you know, we're not really like not really camping people, you know.
Why not?
Okay. You know, people get really mad at you if you don't want to go camping. And I had to go to a 3-day hippie festival when I was campaigning for Nader back in the day. And
oh,
I'm still scarred for life because I hate jam bands and tents and porta potties, and I wanted to kill myself.
Wow. Here we go. That's a story in itself. You campaigned for Nader right there. There we go.
Yeah,
and you camped out.
That was 2004, wasn't it?
Yes. Because
I interviewed him. I interviewed Nader at the Cracker Barrel by my house. I am not kidding.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to marry him forever. I wanted to marry Ralph Nader since I was a kid.
That's a scandal, you know. Ralph Nader has no one. He doesn't marry anyone. He screws no one.
No, I'm telling you, you know, all the little kids, you know, had pictures of the new kids on the block. I had a picture of Ralph Nader.
Really? You being serious?
Pretty much.
Yeah, you got.
Yeah, no, I was totally gonna grow up and marry Ralph Nader. Parents, you know, want their kids to wear seatbelts, and my mom was like, you know, if you don't wear your seatbelt, you're gonna disappoint Ralph Nader. When we were like four, so that was like a big deal.
And
wow.
God forbid we disappoint Ralph Nader.
Exactly.
So, exactly.
Ever, that's good man right there.
That's great. That's hilarious. Wow. So, hey, well, if you don't mind me asking, Robin, earlier we brought up the subject of Satanists performing, you know, gay rituals at the Westboro gravesite. Yeah, are you familiar with that whole incident?
I am. I think it's weird to do. I mean, I'm an atheist. I don't really give a crap. But I think it's weird to do anything at anyone's grave. I don't know.
Right.
And like seriously, Satanists. What is this? Like, you know, Geraldo in 1989.
I know. I'm an atheist, too, but, you know, I don't consider myself an atheist.
Who's going around being a Satanist now? Who is a Satanist, you know? I can see, like, you know, like when you're, like, you know, in eighth grade and you're like, I'm going to be a rebel. If you're an adult Satanist, you're a weird, sad person. I'm sorry. Like,
that's true. You're right.
Like, I don't know why there are adult Satanists.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think of their pink mass they perform there? I mean, surely you. I mean, I could tell you're very intelligent. You are very in tune to all current events.
Oh,
so,
I don't know.
Westboro
Baptist is they're ridiculous. No, like, this is the thing. The thing, like, basically everyone can get behind hating them, but
uh-huh.
they're not actually a problem in real life. It's the people that, like, believe the exact same things they do, but, like, wear a suit and tie and act like they're normal and are in actual office.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. Hold on. I got to plug my phone in. It's dying.
All right. Don't die on us.
Like,
we
I
have
a way
to...
bigger problem with, like, Michelle Bachmann and Steve King, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And Omar or whatever.
Satanist, what?
No, I'm saying, like, you know, the Westboro Baptist Church is ridiculous, but they're
mm-hmm.
so ridiculous
yeah,
that everyone can be like, yeah, they sure suck. But like there are people, but like
right.
the thing is that like there are people that believe the exact same thing that they do, and they're actually in office.
Yeah,
they're just not screaming and acting like, you know, they're just not, you know.
You think so?
Well, people,
who would you think? Okay, you made that a very bold statement there. Who would you consider that's in office might have the same?
Representative Louis Gohmert, Michelle Bachmann, Steve King, what's his face, Santorum. All of these
yep.
people, like, they believe nothing any different than what the Westboro Baptist Church believes.
Okay.
And they
yep.
have actual power. Like, no one is looking at the Westboro Baptist Church being like, they sure do make a good point. No, they're just like assholes.
Wow.
Well,
you are
I don't
honest.
Know. I have
great.
Enough people on my feed that would that scare me with some of their views. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. And speaking of
everyone. I don't think I have anyone left who disagrees with me on my feed. I think they just go away.
Yeah, but,
politics is always bad, you know? I mean, it's like you were mentioning
so
Ralph Nader earlier. You know,
yeah.
I've had my ass run through the ringer because I voted for Ralph Nader twice. So,
well, you know, that's the Republicans stole the goddamn election.
Well,
they literally
that's,
stole the election.
You know, when...
have admitted
when
it. And the people are like, oh, Ralph
the liberals
Nader.
Have attacked me a million times for voting for Ralph Nader. So, you know, that's, you know, it's...
Yeah, because they don't actually pay attention to shit.
Okay, yeah, it's, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, it's politics are always bad.
Right.
So, Robin,
so
I got to ask you, what got you into writing and what was, you know, where did it start for you?
Well, look, I mean, when I was younger, I never thought of myself as a creative writer at all because
uh-huh.
all the creative writing was like, you know, the high school literary magazine with like the 80,000 adjectives and you had no idea what anyone was saying. like, it was just like way too much detail in every single sentence. And I was like, clearly I have no capacity for that at all. I'm not going to write an essay about freaking snowflakes. But I did, you know... I wrote a lot of political stuff, and, you know, at the time I was really more, I was an actor for years, actually, like, from, like, childhood
really?
On. And then I decided randomly that I didn't want to be an actor anymore, and I originally had majored in cultural studies, and then I was like, shit, I know all of these things already, just from having grown up in my house. Like, I know all of, you know, I my house was like a women's studies, cultural studies, peace studies, you know, master's class, just like growing up and, you know, with my mom. And I ended up taking a fiction writing class because I thought it would be harder for me, because I like to do things that are, you know, I think are going to be tough. And it was tough, but I really liked how tough it was, so I stuck with it and ended up majoring in that.
Okay.
And, you know, then I started Sunday night. I still mostly did creative nonfiction, but it helped, you know, it was sort of like Rocky boxing with his left hand or whatever.
Right. There you go.
Or was it his right? I don't know. It's been a long time.
So I was going to, there was a couple things I was going to double back to a Sunday night sex show, but we started talking about current events and stuff, and, you know, that's
Sunday night sex show. There we go. Brown chicken, cow.
Okay. Easy, Brian. We will get back to that.
It's actually the last show ever this coming Sunday the 28th is going to be the last show ever.
Is it really?
Yes.
Okay. We might have to get out there for that then. But I was going to double back, and speaking of current events, you had, I think, a watershed, would it be called a watershed moment for you this week with your, she had a very, very hugely well-received article about McDonald's and, I will defer to you, Robin.
McDonald's and minimum wage, yes. I've read it. I was blown away.
It wasn't just minimum wage, though, but it was that on their website, they had, like, a budget calculator or some shit.
Oh, yeah.
It was a sample budget, but the budget included having to work an entire other almost full-time job.
Right.
Wow.
Okay. How did
and
you
that's
get
working full-time
that?
At a McDonald's, right?
It was actually, it was on Think Progress, and I saw that, and then I just went on and on about it, and I was actually, like, super tired when I did it, so I was surprised that it did as well as it did. Like, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, because I've written several things about the minimum wage. I've written I never expect those posts to go anywhere because I'm like, oh, that's going to be people being like, I'm going to block that shit out now. I don't need to think about that. So I was really surprised that it did well.
Mm-hmm. And so then, did I see that it got picked up other places and stuff like
that?
It
was cited by The Guardian. It was cited by The Atlantic. Like, my version of it went, like, super, super viral, and then everyone else in the entire world did a post on it. So that was kind of neat. It was, like, the last time I checked, which is yesterday, because I was off today, and I just didn't even look at the computer, because I just couldn't. I could not, it was at, like, I think 269,000 Facebook shares and like 4,500 tweets.
Oh my
which
god!
Which is a lot for anything I've ever done.
I think that's fantastic. So now, based on the stuff that you do at Death and Taxes, you know, it is blogging. It is looking at I suppose I should ask first, do you do a lot of first-hand research, or are you aggregating? Or is it a good combination of both that you're doing?
It's sort of a combination of both. For the most part, I stick with, like, commentary on, shit that's happened. Or just, making fun of things that have happened. I'm not, it's basically, how do I explain this? I pretty much spend most of my day going through the Google, or I use not the Google Reader anymore, the Feedly or whatever, and being like, what am I angry about today? What ridiculous thing has happened? And if nothing is interesting, I'll do a listicle.
Fair enough. Do you like do you like doing that kind of stuff better than creative nonfiction? Because like with Sunday Night Sex Show, that's you aren't necessarily going to be talking about the stuff that you write a death in Texas. Which genre do you like better?
I like both. I always have more to say about politics, like, and like that's just how I've grown up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, current events. So that's, it's almost always like more immediately interesting to me because, like, you know, I write about shit that I care about a lot.
Right.
And so then, you know, that's really, like, satisfying to be able to do that for a living, you know?
Sure. Absolutely.
Like,
so
you know,
cool.
At the end of the day, I care a lot more about, like, my pathetic quest to save the world than I do about, like, brand art and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just sort of more my focus, even though I'm probably not going to save the world. But, hey, maybe people care about the minimum wage now, so that's pretty cool.
All right, well, I will throw it back to the co-host here. Do we need to do Puff, or what do we need to do?
Puff the Magic
Brian?
Dragon? No. I want to hear more about the this show that's been going on. Yeah, the Sunday night sex show. I mean, that's very intriguing, beyond intriguing. I mean,
it's all true confessions about sex and sexuality.
Uh-huh.
And we also have comics. Like, it's like writers and comics. And it's been going on for like 4 years. I started it because there wasn't anything like it in Chicago, and now there's everything like it in Chicago. So I feel like it's a good time to retire, you know, we also did like, questions from the audience and everything. And I feel like enough has changed here that we're, you know, it's not as necessary as it was when I started it, you know?
Okay, sure.
No, I can't relate. I mean, sex, you know, is always relevant. It's a major part of everyone's life. How could it suddenly not be relevant?
No. I mean, like, basically, like, there are, like, 4,000 other readings that are, like, the exact same topic now. Like, there didn't really used to be a lot of creative nonfiction in Chicago, and now there are, like, at least 12 other readings that are, like, you know, focusing on the exact same thing.
Uh-huh.
So,
really? In Chicago?
Yeah.
That was, like, a hotbed? Live sex talk
like
shows?
Readings, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Or just like dating
wow.
life.
I might
know,
have to move.
Whatever.
No, seriously. So what, I mean, okay, you've been like, you're like one of the creators and co-hosts of this show. What was a typical show like? I mean, I want to.
They're always insane, and it's very interesting and cathartic because, you know, it's like the best thing about it is that you're like, man, everyone's life is horrible and awkward.
Right.
Really the best lesson that, you know, you can learn from it. Because everyone's like, oh, God, I'm the only one who's a huge asshole and, you know, dating these horrible people and every, you know. It's just, you know, it gets you out of your own head, I think, when people are just, like, being, like, straight up honest about that kind of thing. So, like, you know, instead of waking up in the middle of the night and being like, oh, my God, I'm, like, this horrible freak, you're like, man, no, everyone's a horrible freak, which is great. It's the best thing in the entire world.
It's true. Everyone does have their own their own little, you know, I don't know how to put it politely, but I'm not a polite person. But everybody does have their like their fantasies and their needs or whatnot, and it's true, you know. And a lot of people repress them, you know. And you know, they need that release at some time. They need to release it and just let it go and just, you know, like you said, it needs to be a cathartic thing. You know, catharsis. I mean, everybody needs it at some point, I think. And once I caught wind of this Sunday night sex show that you have been co-host of and creator of or whatnot, I was like, wow, you know, that's I need to start something here in Dayton, Ohio like that. I mean, that's, but, you know, seriously.
I don't know how well it would go over in Dayton, in Ohio. What was, you know, should have a transvaginal ultrasound show. And also, everyone can talk about their transvaginal ultrasound.
Hey, yeah. Honestly, yeah. I mean, there's... I mean, it's a very complex issue, sex and sexuality and all that. It's a major part of everyone's life. Anyone who denies it, anyone who denies it is a lying, you know, because it is a part of life. It's ingrained in us, you know, and every individual, male or female, you know, sex and everything. I mean, that's you've got that, you know, primitive drive to have sex and procreate or whatnot. Even if you don't want to have kids, you still have that drive. I mean, it's there, and there's no denying it. And so, you know, for people to deny it, whatever, and suppress it and lie about it and bullshit. So to find something out like, you know, this show that you've been hosting and all that, for people to be bold enough to go up there live in person and talk about it, I find that amazing. I really do.
Oh, it's awesome. It's great. It's, the whole thing is very, very, very liberating. You know,
and
it's been a great experience overall. So, but although I'm really glad that I don't have to organize it or ever do a Facebook invite again.
So here we go. That's the other side. Organizing. Organizing and, you know, organizing, reading and trying to rally the troops and get them all there and blah, blah, blah. That's a whole other story, and that will burn you out. Well, what's that been like for as an organizer?
I'm like, oh, man, I just don't feel like trying to put this together every, you know, chasing after people and trying to get, you know. I just can't do it anymore. I'm old and rickety.
How old are you? You look young to me.
Never ask a lady her age. No,
oh, that's so like 1982. Come on. Whatever.
I'm kidding.
Oh, I apologize if I have offended you for asking your age. But that was my English.
Seriously, just kidding.
No, but seriously, yeah, old and rickety. Okay, I'm probably like twice your age, honestly. So anyhow, yeah, old and rickety, yeah, I'm already there. But I know, I feel your pain when it comes to, you know, organizing live events and all that and trying to rally the troops and get people to show up and trying to, like, correspond with such and such. It's, yeah, it takes a lot out. It drains you, especially when you're just trying to take care of your everyday life and your other things, you know. I know exactly how it is. I mean, yeah. So is that one of the reasons why you kind of feel like it's like, yeah, I just got to let this go, or I mean,
yeah,
or what?
Like,
yeah,
like, I can't do it anymore. I'm just exhausted.
Right.
So
what do you have coming up? I mean,
it's
with your writing and stuff?
It's the 28th, and it's actually going to be all the people who have been, like, super involved over the years.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be me, Samantha, Amanda, Amanda, Rachel, Angela, and Maggie. So it's like, you know, all the people that have just been, I'm sorry, I'm tired and slightly drunk.
We all are. Join the club. I'm glad you're drunk.
It's going to be like a big family affair, which is like, you know, how I want to end it. It's on our 4-year anniversary, and, you know, it's good to be a grown up.
It's good to be a grown up.
At 4 years old, no. It's a good way to end it.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. And that sounds like a stellar event. Wish I could be there. So what's in the future for you? I mean, where do you want to go with, you know, with your writing and all that? I'm sure, you know, I mean, do you have a book in the works or anything like that?
Oh, God, I talked to someone at one point about doing actually a book on failed apocalyptic prophecies and, like, groups and everything. Which is, like, one of my weird areas of expertise, like, that and assassinations and serial killers and serial killer groupies.
Really?
So, normal thing.
Wow.
That everyone enjoys. I've just been, like, so exhausted that, like, I don't feel like doing any writing after work. I just feel like drinking or watching bad television.
I think you're in the majority there. There's nothing abnormal about that. We all like to watch generic TV and get drunk. But yeah, so serial killer like type thing, huh? That's fascinating. I mean,
it's not that weird. Oh, I mean, this is the thing. I like to know everything about all the serial killers so that I can prevent it ever happening to me. I don't want to be killed by a serial killer. Or anyone. I don't know why. I feel like if I know more about them, it's like less, like, you know, generalized anxiety.
That's great.
I feel like I'm in control. Like, I watch the ID channel, and I feel good because I can solve things before, you know, the half-hour mark. And I'm like, yeah. Because it's really easy anyway because, like, you know that the husband did it if they're posing on a boat and the lady's wearing a white bathing suit. Like, duh. Any dude that owns a boat on any episode of 48 Hours is totally a murderer.
Right. Yes. After you watch so many of those episodes, you kind of like, yeah, you can tell who the killer is.
Yeah, you're like,
even they try to lead you in the other direction.
Family portrait is this.
Yeah. Family portrait. That's great.
True story, we didn't have Sears Family Portraits in my family because my mom was like, no, that's what they show when you get murdered. Like, it's like, you know, you don't want to encourage someone to murder you or, you know, and that's also why I don't have a smile that lights up a room. My smile is as dim as I am. But, yeah, no, my smile does not light up a room, and I would not be described as the all-American girl.
Well, once I heard about you getting raped by dolphins.
I'm sorry. Every single time they ever describe a murder victim,
mm-hmm.
they're all like, you know, Keith's all like, she was the all-American girl. Her friend said her smile lit up the room every single time. What do all these murder victims have in common? Smiles that light up rooms.
Okay. Wow.
You
gotta watch out for those chicks, huh?
That's
chicks that have smiles
have
that light up the room. I mean,
like, I have a serious case of resting bitch face.
That's great. All right. All right, so, Robin?
Yes?
All right, you've been a lot of fun here. Do you want to hang on here for a few more minutes with us? You've been great. You want to, like, shoot the shit with us for a few more minutes?
You know, actually, I kind of want to go to sleep.
You want to go
right.
to sleep? All right,
I'm
well, okay. Well,
then,
you know what? Any last words, I mean, from anybody for Robin? Let her go.
I'm fine. Throw me some rest, man. Go ahead and rest.
Will you some blunts?
I know, I'm so boring, and I'm so mad at the cable right now. Oh. All right. You guys
right.
have a lovely
Robin,
evening.
Robin, you've been great,
yeah,
and thank you so much for being on. I really enjoyed it, and I really had a lot of fun, and you gave me a lot of laughs, and, you know, I hope to stay in touch and keep following your writing and everything. You know, the McDonald's piece you wrote, really, yeah, that was a good piece, and it really touched me when it comes to the minimum wage thing against the McDonald's and all that. So,
awesome.
Yeah, and you know, forever in my mind, I will, and don't take this wrong, you will forever be attached to the whole, like, the whole dolphin thing, because that was the first thing I ever saw, of course. And I love it. I love it. I think it was brilliant and funny. And I think you're a very creative person. And thank you so much for being on the show and hanging out with us. And I've had a blast with you. We're gonna close out with a little bit of Puff the Magic Dragon for you, just for you, Puff. And that's special. I gave you the puff,
okay,
the magic dragon. That's special. Here you go. All right, Robin. You have a good night.
Bye,
Robin.
Thank
you so much.
Take
again.
Care. See you soon.
Here it comes.
Bye. Talk to you soon.
Here it comes.
Bye.
Puff the magic dragon for Robin. Okay.
The magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Pop and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Pop the magic dragon lived by in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Pop the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Together they would travel on a boat with billowed sails. Jackie kept a lookout perched on gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes would bow whenever they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Puff roared out his name. Oh, Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more, and Puff that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain. Puff no longer went to play along the cherry.
Dragon indeed. I always feel puffy while doing these shows. Man, our guests tonight have knocked it out the ballpark. I mean, they've been great. Freaking great. You know, I feel privileged to have such cool and diverse, you know, guests on our show, and it makes it fun. Really fun. So, wow. Hello? Go, folks. So both Robin Panacchia and Jess Me, I mean, fabulous so far, fabulous. But you know what? You know what time it is? Ning, 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 ning. It's time for Ryan Snellman's Ball 4, a drunken escapade through America's pastime. He's going to give us... Oh, yeah. Mr. Ryan Snellman's going to give us his update regarding his exploration of Major League and Single-A, Triple-A, Double-A ballparks. This guy, he goes everywhere. It's like a hobby to him. I wish, you know, Wish I could do something like that, but you know, so to bring him up, before we bring her up, we gotta get his theme song here. Here we go. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the ball game. And here we are with Ball 4, a drunken escapade through America's pastime. And America spelled with a K, sort of Soviet Union-ish. All right, let's welcome on Mr. Ryan Snellman. Let's give it – hey, Ryan, you there, buddy?
God bless America.
How you doing, man?
Oh, wow. Just freaking wonderful.
Freaking wonderful, huh?
Oh.
In what way? Okay. What makes everything so wonderful?
Let's see. Well, we won't go into any of that. Let's just stick to baseball, and we'll go on from here.
All right, we'll stick to baseball. Wow, okay.
Someone's got to blow you.
We'll try to pull that juiciness out of you after your segment here. Man, so what's the latest on your travel log there, Mr. Snowman?
Well, I think, let's see, I've come to a conclusion that the most entertaining baseball to be had these days is actually probably AAA baseball.
Really?
Sorry?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, something about AAA and a bad tipper or something?
Well, it's kind of like watching like college football, where I mean, even though you might have a really bad team, everybody
right.
out there is really trying and really has their heart in it.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I've been to a minor league game that at least one team hasn't scored at least 5 runs. And there's always somebody out there on the team that's just like, you know, this is my one shot at, you know, doing something. So I'm going to at least, you know, I'm still trying to play the freaking game.
Right.
Whereas, you got your major league teams, you might have, you know, you have your handful of teams that are exciting every year. You know, it's like, you know, this year, you know, it's like, you go to a Pittsburgh Pirates game this year, you know, it's going to be an exciting game because they're a hot team and playing well. You know, if you go to a Seattle Mariners game, they're going to, you know, they're going to suck like always. And it's going to be, you know, it's like.
Even the good teams are boring these days. You know,
yes.
I agree with the, you know, I watch a lot of Major League Baseball networks, and I agree with them that the skills player is gone. It's just hit home runs and walk away. You know, that's it. If you can't hit a home run, you strike out.
And over the last few years, I think probably, though, I mean, the most exciting game I went to in the last few years as far as the major league games went to was the Pittsburgh Pirates, because they had a team that were excited and felt like, you know, felt like a real game.
They're putting the ball in play. They're not trying to slug it out of the park.
Yeah. And it's like they're an actual team and they're actually playing baseball. And it's like they some of the you know, they you get the feeling like they remember why they're there. They're playing a game they got excited about when they were 6 years old. And you see that a lot. You see that a lot in the minor leagues because these are the guys that haven't made it yet. They're still trying. And so you see guys that are going up there and, you know, sure, some of them are swinging for the fences, but they haven't quite figured out, you know, not to freaking swing for the fences on that curveball or that slider yet. So, it makes for an exciting game. And it's just a lot more fun when you guys got, okay, he may not be very good at it, but at least he has passion and excitement about it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's kind of the same thing with, like, college football. There's guys out there that are like, okay, I'm going to go. It's the Rudy effect. You know, I'm going to go out and try my heart out.
Right. Right. Because they're not making any money or anything at it. I mean, as far as scholarships, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But half of those, college football players aren't thinking about scholarships. They're thinking about, man, I can really cash in on the NFL. They're looking ahead.
Yeah.
but no, it is more passionate on, I think, a minor league or whatever, college level, and I totally get it, too. You know, they're hungry. They're hungry, and they want it. And, you know, do you get the impression, Ryan, that, once people make it to, like the NFL or the major leagues, that they get kind of jaded and kind of like, spoiled. I mean, is that your impression? I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think they get. I mean, once they're there and have made it, they're definitely very jaded and very spoiled.
Right.
I mean, I've been to Mariners games where, you've got like a, a batter up at bat. The guy on deck, not even freaking paying attention to the count, and like on a, on a 3-1 pitch, there's a strike, and the guy on deck starts walking to walking to the plate like the guy just struck out, because he's not paying attention.
Right.
You're getting paid millions of dollars to play a freaking game. At least you can do is pay attention to who's on plate.
Right.
You know, it's...
So what do you think about, during your exploration and your travel log through, all these baseball parks, how do you think, a small town stadium compares to, a big town stadium?
I think I usually prefer the small town stadiums.
Really?
Everything but Fresno. maybe that stadium in Fresno is the one good thing there, within about 100 miles. it's either that or the single A team in Bakersfield.
If Fresno is the armpit of California, Bakersfield is the crotch.
That's great. Yeah, true.
They call themselves the country western capital of the West. Merle Haggard is from Bakersfield, okay? Merle Haggard comes from Bakersfield.
God. No wonder he was such a freaking drunk.
Well, there's nothing to do there, Schnellman, except drink. Drink and count the dust.
Well, I was thinking about this earlier, and if I was forced to only watch Major League Baseball games for the rest of my life, I would want to be able to get drunk at Wrigley Field for every game of the Cubs game.
Oh, please elaborate, because that's great. Why? Why is that?
Well, I mean, of all the casinos I've been to so far, it seems like Wrigley Field is the best place to get drunk, or the easiest place to get drunk.
Really?
It's well, it's you know, I've been to other places. At the other extreme, at one extreme, I've been to Salt Lake City, where they had one beer vendor covering the entire stadium, and beer was only half of the shit that he was selling.
Yeah. Wow.
But
okay.
You go to Wrigley Field at any given point during the game, and multiple points during any inning, there are beer vendors tripping over each other, trying to sell you beer.
That's great, yeah.
I mean, there'll be three beer vendors coming out of the freaking, out into the aisleway at the same time trying to sell you beer.
Wow.
Wow. You know what, Snellman? I need to get you on a football stadium tour with me sometime. I've been to more football stadiums than I have baseball, and you'll find that the football crowd, it's pretty rough. Fist fights break out every goddamn game I've ever been to. I've been to Oakland Raiders games, Cincinnati Bengals, fucking San Francisco 49ers, blah, 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 Cleveland Browns. Yeah. Every time I go, it's rough.
You cry.
Encounter something like that at any of these baseball games? It seems like baseball, as far as the crowds go, seems a little more mellow than the football crowd.
Oh, they're more mellow, but there's always that one asshole. Then about the sixth inning, he's had about two beers too many and just wants to start crap.
Right.
What I was thinking is everyone's more mellow because at a Bengals game, they're all booing.
Oh, fuck you, Mr. Gosinski. No,
well,
that's not true.
Snowman, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Snowman. Go ahead.
Oh, God.
Okay. So booing.
Yeah, the one
blah, blah,
asshole
blah.
Is trying to start shit.
Yeah.
Well, it's about the sixth inning. The one asshole said just enough beer that it's like he's sitting out in freaking left field and think he's gonna yell loud enough at the pitcher that the pitcher's gonna listen to him.
Seriously?
Any game you're going to, there's that one guy, whatever section you're sitting in, there's that one guy that just, something about the sixth inning, he's just had that one beer too many. You know, it's like.
That's great. The sixth inning. See, that sounds like a.
Too many?
Yeah. The sixth inning asshole. That sounds like a poem or something in the works right there. The sixth inning drunken asshole. That's great. Oh man.
Well, and going back to Wrigley Field, the other beautiful thing about Wrigley Field was at most major league parks, they cut everybody off in the seventh inning.
Oh, wow.
In Wrigley, there was still beer vendors wandering around at the eighth inning. So they're trying to get an extra inning of getting that beer money out of you.
So
it's just make that much more entertaining.
That's great, man. Wrigley, Wrigley Field. I mean, that's a kind of a legendary field. I'm jealous that you've had the opportunity to go there. I would love to go there. I guess Yankee Stadium would be really cool. Have you ever been to Yankee Stadium yet?
My trip for next year is to go to Boston, New York. That's my big trip for next year.
Okay. Boston, New York, so Red Sox and Yankees and...
Yeah, Mets and... You know, I've got to go visit the Mets out there.
That was when I, you know...
The AAA New York teams or what?
Well, it's... One of these years, I want to get up to, the non-New York City part of New York and actually do, like, a road trip up that part of the country and, you know, visit those teams and go see Niagara Falls and all that good stuff.
Sweet.
But I'll get there.
Well,
on my list.
Good. It's better in New York City.
Isn't everything better than New York City?
Don't hate. I live upstate New York. Good shit, man. It's good.
Okay,
shit.
You know, Ryan, I
got
to ask.
We got livestock with fresh vaginas.
Ryan, I got to ask you. Okay, I know you are a hardcore baseball fan. I mean, that's obvious. Do you have, and I hate to ask you this, I don't want to put you on the spot, do you have an absolute favorite team, baseball-wise? Absolute favorite.
Let's see here.
No, let's see here. Just it's in your head. You already know. Don't pretend. Don't, no, just confess. Confess right now. You got nothing to lose. Nothing to lose.
I thought you were the stuff for the Cubs.
Huh? You're a Cubs fan?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like if I'm going to support a loser, I got to support, you know, the indeterminable losers, you know?
Okay. Gay pride,
wow.
Man.
So,
gay pride.
So there you go. You're as far as baseball goes, Cubs is your number one team.
Oh, yeah.
Really? No Mariners, huh?
Wow.
You live in that area,
well,
Seattle?
Mariners are my number two team, and well, the only thing that the Mariners have on the Cubs is that the Mariners have actually never been to the World Series and never will be.
That's great. Okay, what's your number three team, just out of curiosity?
My number three probably rotates every year.
Has it ever been the Cincinnati Reds?
Well, you know, we're working on that. You know, either this year or next year we'll be there.
Ouch. Wow, so, okay. True confession from Ryan Snellman.
Who knows? That's right. And who knows, you know, after the visit to the Cincinnati Reds, you know, the Dayton Dragons might be my favorite team of all time.
Oh, Dayton Dragons, yeah. Dayton Dragons is a kick-ass team. They have sold out for, like, 13 years straight. Sellouts. And they are the single-A team for the Cincinnati Reds. And anytime a Cincinnati Reds player gets injured or whatnot, they come on down to Dayton here and rehab. All right, I just got the 90-second call from the Blog Talk Radio chick. So, you know, we're going to have to wrap this up, guys. So anything provocative we can say last second? It's been a great show. I've had so much fun. We've had great guests. I mean, yeah. Ryan, thanks so much for coming in with your latest reports, you know, with your Ball 4, Drunken Escapade Through America's Pastime. I mean, yeah. You're definitely the drunken ball player. And, wow, Just Me and Robin Pinocchia. And it's been a really good show. And I guess we're going to have to, cut out here. And you know what? We're gonna cut out here with my co-host, Mr. Michael D. Gosinski and Michelle L. Quinn, Dr. Quinn. Wonderful, thank you, and we're gonna close out with you know what? We're just gonna flush this down the toilet. Fuck this shit. Here we go.
Thank you.